When you play Monopoly, do you put money in the middle of the board and whoever lands on free parking gets it? Or are you one of those purists that, no, free parking is free and you don't get any money for that? You know, it can really affect your game. We're going to discuss that sort of thing right here, right now, in the Corner of Truth and Life. Hello and welcome to the Corner of Truth and Life. This is Ira Hall, and we're talking, to start with, about Monopoly and how you handle free parking. Two of my sons recently played Monopoly for a while, and I used to play it when I was a kid. I don't know when I last played Monopoly. It's been years, and even then, in my adult life, I've played it very few times. I find I just don't... have the patience for it. There are other games I'd rather play. But as a kid, I liked playing it, and we played it quite a bit, and it could get pretty intense. I'm pretty competitive. And of course, the big question is how you handle free parking. And I remember when we first started playing it, we just did it the kind of according to the rules. But at some point, a friend from school or somebody introduced me to the concept of, you know, sometimes you'd put a $500 bill from the bank in the middle of the board, and if you hit free parking, you'd get that. And then I was exposed to the idea of if you had to pay in, not to another player, but to the game, you know, your assessed housing repairs or whatever from chance and community chest or the luxury tax or whatever, that would also go into the pot in the middle of the board. And then if you landed on free parking, you'd get the payout. And I remember there were times when I like that. It's one of those things that is easy to like because it's free money. And if your game is not going well, then it can be a lifesaver. You can unmortgage property as you've been going into a skid. You can buy houses or hotels if you couldn't do that to try to get your game back on track. And if you're already doing well, then, hey, it's just, you know, it's gravy. And so I remember it becoming quite a thing where you wanted to land on free parking. Now, I'm pretty sure that was not the intent of the game to begin with. The idea originally that was just going to be a safe space as you're trying to get around and not pay too much rent on different properties. That was just a place where you could land and not have to worry about it. But boy, when it became worth more, your expectation and appreciation really, really shot up. And depending on how big your need was, the greater your appreciation. I mean, if you're already well in the positive territory here, you got plenty of money, then it's like, ah, yeah, it's nice, but, you know, no big deal. Maybe the only reason you're happy to get it is because then somebody else didn't. But if you needed it, oh boy. What a lifesaver that was, yeah. And that goes with kind of what we're going to talk about in today's episode of a story that Jesus told. He was invited to dinner by a Pharisee, a religious leader, who saw himself as very good. And as he's having dinner with this guy, and of course this is, you know, Middle Eastern custom, so they're reclining at the table with their feet out behind them. A woman has come in, is standing kind of in the back, but she's near Jesus' feet. And she's so overcome by being there by Jesus, she starts to cry, and her tears fall down and get his feet wet. And so she kneels down and starts wiping her tears off Jesus' feet with her hair. And she's brought perfume with her. She knew Jesus was going to be there. And she starts to put the perfume on Jesus' feet. And all this is very embarrassing. It's not what should happen. Jesus is a rabbi. And Simon, the Pharisee, the guy who invited Jesus, is looking at this going, Oh my goodness. If Jesus knew about this woman, and if he knew what she was and who she is, he would not let her do this. And Jesus, of course, is aware of Simon's thoughts because he's God. And he says, Simon, let me ask you a question. He says, you know, there are two guys who each owed money, but one owed a lot and one owed a little. And both of them, the debt was canceled. Their debt was done away with. Who was more grateful? And Simon's like, well, you know, that's an easy one. The one who owed the more money, he was going to, you know, he had the greater need of forgiveness, the greater need. He was in greater debt, so he's going to be happier. And Jesus said, yeah, that's right. You got it. And then Jesus does an interesting thing. He turns. Up until now, he's still been kind of back to, foot to the woman. And now he turns towards her, but he still addresses Simon. He says, Simon, do you see this woman? Well, of course Simon sees this woman. He's already seen the woman. He's been thinking bad thoughts about her. And he says, you know, Simon, you, when I came in, you didn't show me honor as an honored guest. Simon hadn't done the different things like washing, having the feet washed, or greeting with a kiss, or anointing his guest, as sometimes you would do with an honored guest. And Jesus said, but this woman's done all that ever since I got here. Because, see, she knows that she has a great need. And so, man, she's forgiven. And the point is, of course, that Simon doesn't understand his need. He doesn't understand how much of a debt he has, where this woman, who was probably a prostitute, knew how much she owed, how big of a debt that she had. And so she was appreciative.
She washed it away with her finest perfume. She just trembled to be so close. The one who's forgiven the greatest loves the most. The one who's forgiven the greatest loves the most.
That was Glad, and just a little clip of the song Forgiven the Greatest. And the song tells the story of Jesus and Simon and the woman. And it, you know, has as its chorus there, the one who's forgiven the greatest loves the most. And it's that appreciation of how much you need that drives a thankfulness, drives an appreciation of what's given. So, like, you know, our mention at the beginning about talking about free parking, when it's not just free, it's a payout. If you're in trouble, if you have a great financial need, if you've got all your property mortgaged and you had to sell your houses and hotels and you're on the verge of bankruptcy, you're going to appreciate money in free parking. You're going to appreciate it far more than someone who's just padding their account. Because the greater your need, the greater your appreciation. And that was what Simon needed to learn, what Jesus was trying to teach Simon. Because Simon, he was a religious guy. He was a good guy. He was one of the religious leaders of his people. And so he saw himself as good and therefore not needy. Not spiritually needy, not in need of forgiveness because, hey, I'm a pretty good person. And when it comes to Jesus, if you think you're a pretty good person, you're not. You may like Jesus. Simon was interested. He invited him over for dinner, but he didn't get all excited about him. He didn't get, Jesus wasn't going to be this great honored guest. He was just generally a guest. Simon didn't go to any great lengths to honor Jesus because he wasn't that excited about him. He was curious. He was interested, but the woman was passionate. And the difference between the woman and Simon was that the woman knew she wasn't good. The woman knew that she was not a good person. She saw herself as she was, which was a person in need of forgiveness, in need of help from God. And that drove her to want to come see Jesus. And when she did see him, it overwhelmed her. And she just wanted to honor him, and she wanted to be near him. And Simon doesn't get it, because Simon sees himself as not needing. And, you know, a lot of us, we see ourselves as basically good people. We don't think we're perfect, but we're not bad. In fact, we're pretty darn good, and we can point to the things that make us good. The good deeds we've done, the charity, the community functions, the whatever. And we might have a pretty big list, as I'm sure Simon did. And we might have this idea that that makes us good. And so we look at Jesus and we're interested, maybe, and, you know, appreciative. But we don't have a sense of great need. Jesus is more of a curiosity, more of an accessory. But we don't feel this desperate need for him, because we think we're pretty good on our own. We already have houses and hotels and plenty of property, and the money's flowing in, and so it doesn't matter if we land on free parking or not. And so because of that, Jesus doesn't inspire us. He doesn't excite us. He doesn't definitely change our lives from day to day, because we don't feel a need for him. Because we have an idea that what we have in terms of goodness is sufficient. And of course, the really scary part is, what if you come to the point when you find out, perhaps too late, that what you have for goodness isn't good enough? The Bible says that actually nobody has enough goodness. That even those of us who think we have a lot of goodness actually don't have any. And that's a tough message that the Bible delivers there. Paul, who had been a Pharisee, who was a very religious, on fire, zealous guy, after he comes to understand Jesus, he looks back and he said, you know, I had all this stuff. He was learned, he was educated, and he was successful as a religious guy. And he said, and all these things that could have been considered a gain to me, I now consider them as a loss. I consider them like garbage. Garbage? Really? You're a good person. And he said, oh yeah, I was better than a lot of people. And yet now I consider all those things that I used to consider myself a better person, I now consider it garbage and a complete and utter loss. So when you think about Jesus, if you say, well, you know, Jesus, yeah, he's cool. Yeah, yeah, you know, I kind of like Jesus. But do you see yourself as good? Do you see yourself as, I think I'm okay. You know, I mean, Jesus would be a nice extra. I wouldn't mind landing on free parking, but I don't need it. Do you not understand your need? That actually, without Jesus, pretty much you don't have anything. Because even what we consider good isn't that good. The one who's forgiven the greatest loves the most.
Thank you for listening to the Corner of Truth and Life. This has been a broadcast of the Beans Corner Baptist Church, located at the corner of 133 and 156 in North Jay. We would welcome you to join us each Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. for a service of music and challenge. If you would like to get more information on the church, listen to this show, past shows, or other messages, please visit us on the web at beanscorner.org or find us on Facebook. Thank you for listening, and we remind you to seek truth. This is Pastor Ira Hall. Have a great day.